Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Word of God in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse 6. Next, Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. Then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So instead, they went on through Mysia to the seaport of Troas. That night, Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there, pleading with him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. We boarded a boat at Troas and sailed straight across the island of Samothrace, and the next day we landed at Neapolis. From there, we reached Philippi, a major city of that district of Macedonia and a Roman colony, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went a little way outside the city to a riverbank, where we thought people would be meeting for prayer, and we sat down to speak with some women who had gathered there. One of them was Lydia from Thyatira, a merchant of expensive purple cloth who worshiped God. As she listened to us, the Lord opened her heart, and she accepted what Paul was saying. She and her household were baptized, and she asked us to be her guests. "If you agree that I am a true believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my home." And she urged us until we agreed. One day, as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She earned a lot of money for her masters by telling fortunes. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved." This went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And instantly, it left her. Her master's hopes of wealth were now shattered. So they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities at the marketplace. "The whole city is in an uproar because of these Jews," they shouted to the city officials. "They are teaching customs that are illegal for us Romans to practice." A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape, so the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundation. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, "Stop! Don't kill yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household." And they shared the word of the Lord with him and with all who lived in his household. Even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. Then he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. He brought them into his house and set a meal before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. The next morning, the city official sent police to tell the jailer, "Let those men go." So the jailer told Paul, "The city officials have said, you and Silas are free to leave. Go in peace." But Paul replied, "They have publicly beaten us without a trial and put us in prison. And we are Roman citizens. So now they want us to leave secretly? Certainly not. Let them come themselves to release us." When the police reported this to the city officials, the city officials were alarmed to learn that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens. So they came to the jail and apologized to them. Then they brought them out and begged them to leave the city. When Paul and Silas left the prison, they returned to the home of Lydia. There they met with the believers and encouraged them once more. Then they left town. End of Acts chapter 16. Father, we thank you for your word, the power, the wisdom, the counsel, the understanding of your word. And Lord, thank you for the fact that, amongst other things, your word is a book of mission, a book that tells us your will, your work, and what your kingdom is all about. And you call us to join your mission, to join your work, to join the work of the building of your kingdom. Lord, anoint us afresh with the spirit of grace that would encourage us to be believers who are kingdom-minded and mission-minded every day of our lives. Help us to know, Lord, that you have so much work to be done, and you simply desire us to be willing and available vessels that you can use every single day. Thank you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for the gift of salvation. Thank you so much for the whole history and story of the Bible as you tell us about our enemy, the deceiver, and our enemy in the flesh. And Father, thank you for calling us to something so much greater, to life in Jesus, to die to this world and to our flesh in Jesus's crucifixion and as he's covered our sins, and to be raised to life in you, Father. Father, I ask that more and more that we would love as you have loved us. Thank you so much, Father, for coming and meeting us where we are and calling us into more and more growth in your kingdom. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We continue to be excited about our Ten Commandments project, which is an ongoing project that's a youth discipleship project. And in particular, during the month of June the 1st through the 30th, is the part of the Ten Commandments project whereby we invite youth to do the speech challenge. This year, the speeches are to be done on the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me." Keep in mind that we're inviting young people ages 7 to 17 to basically write or have someone to help you to write a 3 to 5 minute speech in length. Now, that's the suggested length. It can actually be any length that you choose. Any length is acceptable. But we suggested to be 3 to 5 minutes. And please use your cell phone or other means to record it and send it to us. You can send it to one of these two email addresses, faq@afa.net. Again, that's faq@afa.net. Or you can send it to jparker@afa.net. On the subject line, simply put, "Ten Commandments Project Speech Challenge 2025. And we'll look forward to receive it. Keep in mind, parents, this is a youth discipleship project. We're excited about it. And last year, I believe we ended up with right about 57 speeches. And so hopefully this year we'll have even more. But one of the many exciting things about the project is that your young person, your son or daughter will be a different person on the other side, because it's a time whereby they do their Bible research and or their topical research, and they put together a brief speech where they're sharing truth that can bless their peers. Now, I want to remind you, too, one of our goals is we ask each young person and their parents to ask your pastor to allow you to share your speech on Sunday morning. Now, let me be very clear. I'm aware that sometimes that just hasn't worked out. But in some instances, some of the young people did that, and it ended up impacting their whole church. Now, personally, I'm a pastor that, like, if I had a young person that asked me to do that, I would put young folks up 52 Sundays out of a year. But that may not always be the case, but at least we encourage you to pursue that opportunity. And sometimes that opportunity does come. But again, the dates are June the 1st through the 30th, We're looking forward to receiving lots of the speeches. And, of course, also one of our goals is to have each young person and their parents that are able to work it out with us to have you on a broadcast to where you share the speech, talk about what you learned, and parents, we invite you to talk about what you observed in your child as well. And in the past, as we've done that, it makes for very encouraging radio broadcasts where we get to hear the hearts of children and their parents in their involvement in the project. So again, we hope that you will get involved again. For those that participate, they will receive a free Ten Commandments t-shirt, a bookmark, and a free shipping coupon code to use for the AFA Resource Center. So hope that you will encourage your children, grandchildren, any young people you know to get involved. We hope to have lots and lots of kids to participate. We are very honored and blessed to have as our phone guest today, Pastor Hugh Marriott. He's the Episcopal Supervisor of Missions and Outreach of the AME Church in the 8th Episcopal District. Pastor Marriott, how are you today?
I'm doing quite well, Pastor Parker. Thank you so much for this wonderful invitation.
Honored to have you on today. And I'm going to ask if you'll take a few more moments to further introduce yourself, and I'm just going to say this up front. You know, I have the privilege of being the pastor of Ebenezer AME Church in Benton, the Benton, Mississippi community. And, you know, Pastor Marriott, one of the things I find is there are lots of people who've never, ever, ever heard of the AME Church before. But, of course, it's short for African Methodist Episcopal. And it's our honor to have you as our Episcopal Supervisor of Missions and Outreach. So would you take time now to further introduce yourself to our listeners, and then tell them more about what it means to be an Episcopal supervisor.
Well, thank you again, Reverend Parker, and I appreciate this opportunity to talk about my work as an Episcopal supervisor. I wasn't always an Episcopal supervisor, of course. This just happened as of August last year when at the 52nd General Conference, Bishop Erica Crawford was elected as the bishop for the 8th Episcopal District, which covers Louisiana and Mississippi, almost 200 churches. And as a result of her election, she appointed me to serve as her Episcopal supervisor. Generally speaking, in the African Methodist Episcopal Church, the supervisor of missions and outreach has oversight for the Women's Missionary Society, which is one of the largest components in our church, the Young People's Division, which again, of course, falls under the umbrella of the Women's Missionary Society, the Christian Debutante Master's Commission, as well as there's one more that I superintend, which is the clergy families. And so the Episcopal supervisor generally has oversight over these organizations within the church, but more broadly is charged with missions and outreach across the area and the district in which we serve. So that's the role of the Episcopal supervisor. It's oversight, but it's also trying to encourage people to be more involved in the work of outreach and missions.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing that. You've also served for a number of years as a pastor prior to stepping into this role as well. And where have you served as a pastor?
So I was the pastor of the Allen Temple African Methodist Episcopal Church, which is located in Mount Vernon, New York. Mount Vernon, New York is in Westchester County, which is north of the Bronx or north of New York City, for people who may not necessarily be familiar with the geographical area. So it was an almost 200-member church, and when I was first assigned there 12 years ago, it was about 8 people. And so within the 2 years, through some of the outreach efforts and missions work that I got engaged in, we were able to grow that congregation to almost 200 persons. And I like to say 200.
Okay, I'm going to jump in right here. We're going to pick up right there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Pastor Hugh Marriott. He's the Episcopal Supervisor of Missions and Outreach for the AME Church in Mississippi. We'll be right back.
To believe in what sees great. When we speak doubt, he speaks faith. Time to believe in what God says.
Music of Forever Jones with Time to Believe. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Pastor Hugh Marriott. He's the Episcopal Supervisor of Missions and Outreach for the AME Church for Mississippi and Louisiana. Pastor Marriott, you were sharing some about just your experience as a pastor in New York, that faraway country called New York, if you'll pick up where you left off there.
Certainly. As I was saying, 12 years ago when I was appointed to the church, it was about 8 persons that would we see on a Sunday. And in just under 2 years, we were able to grow that congregation to over 200 persons. And I like to say 200, I really like to say 200 families, because individuals aren't operating on an island by themselves. So we were able to serve over 200 families, and largely because of some of the missions outreach work that we were engaged in. So that's what I was doing as a pastor prior to my current role now as Episcopal Supervisor.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Well, I want to ask if you'll take a few moments. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to pray that the Lord will help our listeners receive and hear what he wants them to hear. But before that, but on the other side of that, I want you to talk about the word missions and missionary, because for some people, when they think of missionary, they think of, well, that means I have to maybe go to Africa or South America and wear a round hat and eat bugs and live in a hut, you know. Well, again, missions is so much broader than that. So would you pray for people to have listening ears to what the Lord wants to say to them through the broadcast? And we'll talk further about that on the other side of that.
It would be my pleasure. Let's look to the Lord. Eternal God, our Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, here's what we know about you. Lord, you're a loving God. You're a forgiving God, a merciful God, a sovereign God. You are eternal. And we thank you, Lord, that your word is clear, that you know the plans that you have for us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us, plans to give us hope and plans to give us a future. And Lord, while that future sometimes might be a little daunting, intimidating even, the truth of the matter is, Lord, you hold it all in your hands. For you are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And Lord, when we put our trust in you, Lord, then we need not be worried or even be frightened about what the future may hold, for you hold the future. And so, Father, we pray, Lord, that through the power of your Holy Spirit, that all the things that we will talk about today and discuss will penetrate even the hardest of hearts, that they will be able to hear and to receive your word. But Lord, the truth is, no one came to hear Pastor Marriott or Pastor Parker. They came to hear you. So use these airways, Lord, for your honor and for your glory. And we will be careful to make sure, Lord, that we stay focused, for there will be no other gods before you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. So, Pastor Marriott, would you just dive right in to share more about the meaning of the word missionary and missions in that, like, for example, a person, say they would approach you and say, well, Pastor Marriott, I don't think I could ever be a missionary to move to another country and serve the gospel. I have a family, and I work a 9-to-5 job, and I don't see how I could possibly be a missionary. How would you respond to that? And how could you help them to better understand what missions really is?
Yeah, so I appreciate that question. And I think the best way that I can respond to that is from my own personal experience. When I entered seminary, I really didn't know anything about really missions or even the work of God. I had joined a local church, and the local church had a Bible study that I would attend on Wednesdays. And I'd gotten to the point where I was learning more about God and things that I didn't know about God, and I became really hungry for the Word of God. So hungry that the Bible study that I would attend was no longer feeding that part of me that needed more of God. And so I enrolled in a seminary. I had no intentions of being a pastor. I had no intentions of doing anything other than just learning more about God. And in the very first class that I took in seminary, it was a class called Perspectives on Missions. It was a required course. And in that class, we had students, maybe somewhere upwards of 25 to 30 students. And during the introductions, the majority of the students that were in the class were there because they either were getting ready to go on the missions field or they were already pastors. And so I felt like a fish out of water. But throughout the semester, our professor at the time was really, really good at discussing missions. And I made a vow to God that if I ever became a pastor, again, having no intentions of doing that, I would do everything in my power to make that church more missional. Now, fast forward to me being appointed to the church, I started to really understand that missions and missional work is not really about, like you said, going overseas and different exotic places and eating bugs. Missions work is really about expanding the kingdom of God through evangelism and spreading the gospel. So technically speaking, a person who is mission-minded or seeks to be missional is someone who is going to use whatever opportunity that God opens the door for them to go out and to talk about the good news, about their testimony, about how God has met them in their lives and how God can meet other people. Sadly, I take this a little personally, many times when we talk about missionary in the church and our own church as well, it is seen as sometimes people wearing fancy hats or even having organized events, which can be a part of the work, but not necessarily just about that work. Other times it could be going to exotic places. But the point is that missions and the work of missions is about expanding the kingdom of God. I tell folks that evangelists and missionaries are not people standing just on a street corner giving out tracts, even though that can be a means to an end. But we are all responsible for the ask, for the invitation. We're not responsible for the response. The scriptures are clear, right? One plants, another waters, and God gives the increase. So to be missional and to be mission-minded is to be focused on the thing that is most important to God. And that is what? Getting people to the place where they can repent and acknowledge the who of God is and be willing to turn around and to change their lives. Wherever you find yourself doing that, with whatever tools God has given you to do that, that's what makes you a missionary. That's what makes you mission-minded. And very often, missions happens really at the edge or at the border of those who believe and those who do not believe. And that's the work from my perspective.
Mm. You know, I appreciate you sharing those insights. And just from your own story to a very interesting journey that the Lord had you on too. And, you know, I think it's helpful for us to think about this too. You know, words cause us to categorize things or issues or concerns, but the reality is, you know, in the truest sense of the word, every follower of Christ is called to be a missionary. We're to listen to God and do what he says, whether that's in your neighborhood or on the other side of the world, whatever that might be. And for each of us, in reality, God calls us to follow him. And when we follow him correctly, I believe it's always true that God is always going to try to stretch us. And sometimes we put ourselves in a position where we don't want to get stretched and we're going to try to avoid it. But it's exciting to know Jesus and to really follow him.
And if I may interrupt you for just one moment, because you said something that I think is critical to not overlook, and that is to follow, right? Mm-hmm. The scripture, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, here's why I'm highlighting that. Very often when we go out to try to encourage or to evangelize or to get people to be aware of the kingdom, we tend to see that as the means to an end, that we are just doing this because that's what we're required to do. But if the Holy Spirit is allowed into the process and the Holy Spirit opens the door for you to then walk through, then the outcome will be as the kingdom it requires. I think too many of the times we are trying to do this in our own strength. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to grow my church, or I want to spread the gospel. And that's fine, and that's important, but the where and the how should only come after we are following the lead of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I think I attribute my success as a pastor with that church was. I wasn't trying to do or come up with a scheme or an idea or to try to make worship more attractive or more entertaining. It was more, okay, God, where are we now? Where do we need to go next? What do I need to do? And then let him lead. And you cannot fail when you follow Christ.
Amen. Amen. Would you take time now specifically to pray for the church as a whole, but for pastoral leadership in particular, to really seek to do basically kind of what you did, to seek to help their church become more mission-minded in view of the fact that that's simply being kingdom-minded, and we're all called to be kingdom-minded too. Would you pray for that?
Absolutely. Let's look again to the Lord. Eternal God, our Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Again, your word is very clear that we should not lean to our own understanding, but in all our ways, we should acknowledge you, and you are the one who will direct our paths. So, Father, we pray right now for the wisdom of pastors and also humility that will allow them, Lord, to recognize that when they've been given charges and responsibility over congregations, it's not to lord their skills or their gifts over them, but to use it collectively with the body in concert with the Holy Spirit to get your work done. Lord, it is your church. You will grow your church. You will call those whom you want to be in your church. But you've allowed us and asked us as pastors to be willing vessels, to be conduits of your grace. And so, Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit will now fall upon all those who are hearing even this prayer right now, who may be in one way, shape, or form stuck in their ministries and not quite sure what direction to go next or how to go work. But we pray, Father, that you will allow them, Lord, to open their hearts up and to be humble enough to recognize that you are the author and the finisher of our faith, and that it is only your work that this work of the kingdom will get done. Bless them, though, Lord, even in vineyards that may seem dry, that one day, Lord, the right watering will happen, and that they will get the increase and the kingdom advances. We pray this in faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And Father, to thank you for the church, and thank you for the privilege you give us as your people to be a part of your church. Lord, anoint us afresh with the spirit of evangelism and discipleship. More and more teach us, Lord, that we're called to live a lifestyle, as Pastor Mary just alluded to, a lifestyle of listening to your Holy Spirit and simply doing what he says. A lifestyle of sharing with the world about Jesus, who he is and what he calls us to do, and a lifestyle of encouraging and helping others to grow up in their faith. Lord, just set us on fire afresh with that spirit and help us daily to live in the excitement and joy of being vessels you use to accomplish these things. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor Merritt, can you share with us what are some things that are especially exciting to you right now that you see God doing in the work that you're doing as an Episcopal supervisor of missions?
Well, thank you for that question. So I'm absolutely excited about what God has laid on my heart, which I've already shared with the bishop and actually is already putting in place in the 8th Episcopal District. We have an initiative called the Just Believe Missions Outreach. Just Believe Missions Outreach. And this initiative, which was launched back in January of this year, as I said, I was just appointed in August of last year. So in January of this year, we launched the Just Believe Missions Outreach, and it comprises of 5 key initiatives. The first initiative is for Bonner Campbell. Bonner Campbell Institute, as some of your listeners may know, is the owned by the African Methodist Episcopal Church. It's the campus in Edwards, the town of Edwards, and we're looking to revitalize that as a learning center and a retreat center where churches and congregations and ministries and all kinds of folk can come and get education, which in many ways we know we need to be teaching, particularly biblical principles and value systems. So we're trying to figure out how we can make that a place of learning and education. So that's the first initiative, the Bonner Campbell Initiative under the Just Believe Missions Outreach umbrella. The second, again, which I'm happy to say is in full steam, is the Matthew 25 Ministries. And this is an empty pill bottle collection ministry. We have a number of missionary societies in our local churches, and each of these societies, what we do have in our churches is a lot of folks that are on medication. And what they do with those empty pill bottles is they throw them away. So we have a process now where we're collecting these empty pill bottles. Persons are removing the labels off of the pill bottles, packaging them, and then we ship them to the Matthew 25 Ministries in Ohio.
I'm going to pick up right there, Pastor Mary, and we'll pick up on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest is Pastor Hugh Marriott. He's the Episcopal Supervisor of Missions and Outreach of the 8th Episcopal District. We'll be right back. From the Newsboys with He Reigns. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Pastor Hugh Marriott. He's the Episcopal Supervisor of Missions and Outreach of the AME Church in the 8th Episcopal District, which is Mississippi and Louisiana. We're honored to have him on today. Pastor Marriott, if you'll pick up there where you left off, please.
Yes, certainly. So I was sharing that I'm very excited about the Just Believe Missions Outreach Initiative, which we launched in January of this year, with its five sub-initiatives, one being the Bonner Campbell Institute, which is to revitalize that asset, that college campus in the Edwards community of Mississippi. We also have the Matthew 25 Ministries, which is an empty pill bottle collection ministry where we're asking all of our members to remove the labels at these empty pill bottles, package them, and we ship them to Matthew 25 Ministries located in Ohio. And they, along with medical supplies, ship those empty pill bottles all over the world, various places, South America, Africa. And what's so key about that particular ministry as a recycling program is that, you know, very often many people are not aware that in some of these developing countries, when people go and get their prescription medication, no matter what they are, they're getting them in empty Ziploc bags. And when they take them home, children get exposed to that thinking it's candy. And so these empty pill bottles, when they get shipped overseas, they get to be recycled, and that can be a lifesaver in any home or community. So we're very excited about that. And as of this moment, I think last month, we shipped over 5,000 empty pill bottles already. So we're keeping a track on that. The third ministry initiative under the Just Believe umbrella is, and I think this is probably near and dear to your heart, Pastor Parker, is the Master's Touch. The Master's Touch is a ministry of visitation. While it's important to call folks when they're not well and when they're sick or to send cards, there's something about the actual visit. And so the Master's Touch, as one of our initiatives under Just Believe, is a ministry of visitation to persons in our congregations that are no longer, that we no longer see because they're homesick or visiting nursing homes, but also to the incarcerated. And so it is a ministry of visitation. The fourth effort is missions outreach, and this is specifically to evangelism overseas and locally. And so for the past 12 years, I've been going, taking 20 member teams to Guatemala. I've been doing that for the past 20 years, and that is an exciting ministry. We do it with both the old and with the young, and they come back changed, because a lot of times, a lot of people have never left the shores of the United States, and to see how other people live, but also how the kingdom is advancing in other places around the world. And the fifth and final initiative under the Just Believe outreach umbrella is a golf tournament, which we are organizing, which really is going to be how we pay for a lot of the things that we're looking to do. It is a great way for us to connect with those in our community, whether elected officials or even in the business community. And the proceeds from that tournament will literally be used to pay for or fund some of our kids who are already matriculating in college, but also to pay fully for young people to go on some of these short-term missions trips. So I'm really excited about the Just Believe outreach initiative in the 8th Episcopal District, again, which was launched in January of this year. And each of those five initiatives are up and running or underway in their development. And we are certainly looking for people to hear more about it, but also to get involved and to partner with us when we start to publish more of our marketing materials so people know what's going on. So I'm very, very excited about it. And it is Just Believe. It's called Just Believe for the simple reason that that's what Jesus told us to do. Just believe.
Amen. 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 Thank you so much for sharing about just some of the goals and the projects that you're working on. And I want to ask if you'll maybe share some thoughts about this in this final segment too. You know, there are many listening that they may not have any particular denomination or church family that they're necessarily involved in as far as missions is concerned. But, you know, the fact is, as you've already alluded to, any believer anywhere can be a missionary in the truest sense of the word if they're simply listening to what the Word of God says and this what the Spirit of God says in it, because God has work to be done everywhere. And as we simply listen to the Holy Spirit, you know, because I think of this, for example, I'm just going to real briefly share about a project we did at Ebenezer, which is related to a number of the things you've mentioned too. We call it sweet potato evangelism. We're buying cases of sweet potatoes, and we invite members to get a bag of a few themselves, but also to get a bag and give a bag of sweet potatoes away in the community and invite someone to church and give them a gospel tract. Well, what happened, one of our members did that, and one of the Sundays soon after we started, she brought three young men, one of them a young adult, and the other one were two about more close to teenagers. And that Sunday, two of those three gave their lives to Christ, and one of them recommitted his life to the Lord. And we ended up baptizing them one or two a few weeks later. And so, and that was a result of one person. She happened to be 80-something years old, but she got involved with missions. Now, some people say, well, that's not mission. Sure it is. Missions is going on the mission God sends you on. And so just excited. And the reality is, God has work all over the place. Sometimes it might be, say, a person, the Lord just tells you, pray for that person in the grocery line in front of you. Or he might say, pay for that person's groceries in front of you. But it can be anywhere the Lord has work to do. Would you share your thoughts about that, though?
I would absolutely love to. And that is spot on, because, again, two things come to mind as you were sharing, and I said this a little bit before, and that is when we think about going out and expanding and advancing the gospel, right, we're evangelizing. That's essentially what we're doing. And the truth of the matter is that we are not responsible for the response, right? So many people are afraid to do something because they think they're going to be rejected or they're going to be chased away or yelled at or whatever. You're not responsible for the response. You're only responsible for the ask. So that's the first thing, right? It is the, you know, if you're using the potatoes as a means of asking, which is what it really is, it's asking. That is all that you have been asked to do. And then God will do the rest by giving the increase. But the second part of what you shared, which I thought was really, really interesting, is that the scriptures, again, is clear, right? God uses the foolish things of this world to confound even the very wise. Some of the things that we do appears to be like, ah, this doesn't make sense, or you may even face ridicule by others, even your own peer group, because you're doing something that seems a little bit foolish. Well, you know what was foolish? The cross, right? How can one man die for the sins of everybody, right? So there is an element of this doesn't make any sense that is exactly the ground upon which God uses and changes people's lives. And I get to be a part of that, right? So we get to sit and watch God and say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do next? Well, I want you to go down to the Jordan River and I want you to bathe in that water and then come up and you will be able to see. I'm like, it doesn't make sense, right? And so to put yourself in a position where you are always awkward for the kingdom of God puts you in a position where you're always useful for the kingdom of God. So lean into the awkward, lean into the unfamiliar, lean into the foolish, and watch God's kingdom advance. That's kind of what I think about when I heard you share that story, and the fact that that's what missions is really kind of all about. It's going into the places that are unknown, that makes no sense, knowing that God equips those to whom he is called for his work.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Merritt, I want to ask, would you take time specifically to pray for believers to be set on fire with a passion for evangelism and discipleship in view of the fact that, you know, in the truest sense of the word, evangelizing and discipling people really is fun and joyful, whether people fully grasp that. And they don't know what they're missing out on when they don't get involved. Would you pray for believers to grow in their commitment to do that?
I will absolutely do that. Let's look to the Lord again. Lord, this has been so inspiring to talk about you. Every time we talk about you, Lord, I get excited. I get fired up, Lord. I can't explain it. I don't understand it. I only know that it happens. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, that the same passion with which I burn and yearn for you, Lord, will be the same passion that others who are hearing this will also feel. Lord, you do not have to force a butterfly to fly. It does it because it's what it knows how to do. You do not have to force any of the creatures that you have created, Lord, in your vast kingdom to do the very things that they have been designed to do. And so, Father, we have been designed to love each other, not only as ourselves, but as you have loved us. Loving each other, Lord, is the very thing that we were designed to do. And so, Lord, sometimes that love can be corrupted. But we pray, Lord, that the passion that you've given to each and every one of us, the Apostle Paul says you have placed eternity in our hearts. There is a longing for the things of the kingdom. And so, Father, we pray that you, through the Holy Spirit, will awaken that passion in all of the believers all over the world who's even hearing this broadcast. There is something unique that they bring to the kingdom. Lord, open up those spiritual gifts. We're reminded, Lord, when the wise men saw the Christ child, they opened up their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They opened up their gifts. So, Lord, open up the gifts of everyone, Lord, who is hearing this broadcast. For, Lord, they have skills and gifts and abilities that the world desperately needs. For even though eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, nor has entered into the hearts the things that you have prepared for those of us who love you, Lord, you give us a glimpse in this side of eternity. And so, Lord, give them all a glimpse of the greater in their lives, that they then, Lord, may run with passion, not grow weary in well-doing, but knowing in due season they will indeed reap their reward. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And Father, to thank you for the privilege, the honor, and the blessing that is ours of being able to hear your word and obey your word. Help us to know, Lord, that the greatest joys in life will come as we simply listen to you and do what you tell us. As we walk in love, as we recognize you said in your word, owe no man anything but love. Help us, Lord, to be eternally working on that getting rid of that debt, giving you away. You are love, and we have the privilege of giving you away to a world that desperately needs your love. We thank you and praise you, Father, for that opportunity and privilege. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, again, we're grateful again to have had Pastor Merritt on. And we ask that every believer would pray for the work that he oversees as the Episcopal supervisor for the area that he oversees. But as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make the step of asking Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, would you, from your heart, simply pray this prayer with us even now and fully commit your life to him? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrong things I've ever done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned. I've done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things that I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily, to pray daily, to follow you daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and gave your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Please do get in touch. And we do ask that you please pray much for Pastor Hugh Merritt in the work that he does as the Episcopal supervisor in overseeing the missions and outreach of the Mississippi and Louisiana. He would, I believe, very much appreciate your prayers. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.